Welcome to the Freedom Founder Podcast, the show that provides a platform for self-made entrepreneurs to share their stories on how they got where they are today. If you're a budding entrepreneur or a business owner looking for further inspiration, education, or motivation, then look no further. This is the show for you. And now, let's get started with your host, Zach Duggar.
Welcome to the Freedom Founder Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Duggar. Now, sometimes when we are in business or in life, we put a little capacity on ourselves and we limit our thinking and our ability to do more. Well, my guest today doesn't have that limit on her thinking and what she is working to accomplish and has been able to scale into multiple businesses over time. So, Yolene, thank you for joining me today on the show.
Super happy to be here.
Yeah, so what I'd love to start talking about is just how you got into an entrepreneurial space and in general, and if that was always your path was to start a business.
Yeah, I think I would go back. My journey would, you know, begun with definitely with my childhood. I think if I would definitely want to reflect, you know, you as a child, you start to build and you play with Lego. You're making these bricks and all these constructions. And I think that really ignited my passion for building, but as well creation. And then along my year, you know, I started in a corporate company, and before I knew it, I was building a department, a trading department, a category department. And I think a pivotal turn for me came during my EMBA. I did an EMBA in London, in the Hult, in 2016 to 18. I was also living in Chicago at that time. And that for me, staying meant embarking my entrepreneurship. So in 2018, I launched my marketing agency. In 2020, then with some friends, I built a venture, a Florida real estate venture, my Cattleya. And then 2021, I'm now focusing on Yellow. And now sidewise, I'm also helping female founders in making it happen. So that's a little bit my journey. It's really about innovation, doing it and making an impact, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk a little bit about that first venture in the marketing agency. Tell me a little bit about that and what that was like and how that process went for you. And also, because a lot of people don't see the challenges that occur along the way, they see that success on the back end. If you had any bumps in the journey, tell us a little bit about those too.
So going back on the first question, indeed, so my marketing agency, it was an easy ride in a way that, you know, I have been working now for 15 years in marketing. So I do know the in and outs a little bit of marketing, let's say it like that. And staying in the US meant I had to go a visa. So starting with my own marketing agency, I used friends and family, and I had already two customers. And I really, by doing that, really went into deep dive. I think for the first year, I had 2-3 customers, big ones. And then based on that, you know, really going down, making a niche and rolling it out and building upon that, right? And for me, that was not the biggest hurdle, I would say. So for me, the marketing agency went pretty smooth because I have so much knowledge and passion into it. I would say, so my biggest hurdles, I think, are right now, you know, five years later into my entrepreneurial journey. And that is mainly because doing Yellow, and Yellow is derived from Marketing Scalers, right? So Marketing Scalers was my agency focusing on agent marketing. Yellow is more a tech company where we want to, you know, with a personalized dynamic questionnaire, we want to bring clarity to businesses before they make any marketing decisions. So it's kind of, you go to the doctor, you make a diagnose like where are they before you put them in a marketing, to match them with the right marketing partner. Mm-hmm. And being a woman then in tech and with machine learning, then often you receive the question, you know, are you capable to do that? Are you able to manage a tech startup? And adding on this, right now, I'm navigating right now a pregnancy. I'm 7 months old. So okay. Then immediately, you know, the question sometimes I receive is like, you know, you need to prioritize, either it's your baby or your business, right? So it feels like you have an either or situation. So for me right now, I'm more in the challenge, like, you know, why would I need to choose, right? You get so much resistance that it's sometimes hard to stay awake, right? To stay, you know, head over water and get it done. So I don't know if it gives you an answer on those two questions.
Yeah. I mean, I know absolutely it does. And it does lead into another in regards to currently what you're experiencing. And you had indicated that you're 7 months long in your pregnancy and are getting that question about your baby, your business, and why can't it be both? And how do you navigate that as you look to the future and the next coming months when your baby's born and just planning for the continuation of your business and the efforts that you're putting into that as well as your family life?
I think it's a good question, right? And do I have the perfect answer on it? Probably not. Sure. But
yeah,
for me, I think I always have been that person. I want to manage or navigate the man world with the woman world, and I want to bring them together. I want to bridge them. Definitely, I really always am a very advocate about female entrepreneurship, to bring them together, because I think a woman still can do it regardless if they have a baby or not. And being right now in being pregnant and having my own startup, more or less still building it, I'm really learning a lot about self-care. It's really about, you know, you want to still focus on your business, but in the meantime, you also want to take care of yourself. You want to take breaks. You want to do yoga, you know, prenatal yoga, and you want to you want to still focus. And I think that only strengthens me as a person, because you have so many priorities suddenly, and you cannot do it all the time. You know, in the beginning of my first trimester, laying on the sofa was hell for me, right? It's like 2 hours on the sofa or 2 hours working. But no, it's just about finding that middle ground. And it learns you a lot. And it learns you a lot about prioritization as well.
Yeah. No, I think that's great. It kind of creates that opportunity for additional consideration of your self-care and your current process that you're going through and everything. Because it is important, not just when you're pregnant, but even just in business and in life, to be able to be mindful of not burning out. I've interviewed some people and talked with people that have burned out over time because they're just always pushing and pushing and pushing, and they just don't identify that they have a capacity or that they can get to a point where they're pushing the edges of their own envelope.
Yeah. And I honestly, without a pregnancy, I can totally relate to that, right? Always putting the barrier so high, you just want to drive. Yeah. You put your KPIs in there, you want to reach them regardless. And no, it's like, it's fine. You know, it's fine to take a nap of an hour and it will give me so much clarity afterwards. So it's always easier said than done, right?
Yes, absolutely. Definitely is. Okay, so marketing skillers, it kind of transitioned over time to where you're merged that into the yellow tint yellow and that concept of that tech concept and scaling with businesses. And so with regards to that, can you share a little bit more about Yellow and how it is that you work with businesses? Because it to me sounds like that creates an even broader scope to what you're able to do for people, and not just in a localized market, but internationally, globally, around the world.
Yeah. So starting with my own marketing agency, I was very much into scaling tech companies. So I was always my focus. And then suddenly you receive an answer of a question, can you help me with influencers marketing? Can you help me with PR? And I was always a person, very transparent. Yeah, no, that's not my core competence, you know? I will not say yes just to say yes and then and get a business, right? So I started to match people. And this is what we're right now with Yellow, is really kind of a matchmaking. Somebody is saying, you know, this is what I need. This is my industry. This is my business. And we're trying to match them with the right agency. You know, you've been thousands of times and, you know, we have 3,000 or 4,000 global agencies right now in the portfolio. So we know more or less the agency world. But what we really see is just by matching those people is that a lot of companies, they have no clue what marketing is. They have no clue how much they need to invest in it. They have no clue or a lack of understanding what marketing can do and what the return on marketing investment is. So therefore, we said, you know, what if we would take a step back and bring clarity to marketing and give the brands again a position in the world? Because if you look at marketing, you have the brand who has a product or service. You have the marketing agency that then communicates that message. And then you have the end user that then iterates and then give feedback on, you know, do I like the product? Yes or no. You know, all these Gen Z's channels, they just go for it, right? They just don't have, they just say what they want to say about the product. And with Yellow, we really want to go back to that beginning where we really say, you know, brand, before you spend money in it, where are you? It's just like going to a doctor, right? They make a diagnose and you use a lot of quantitative data just to see, you know, this is where I am. And we will now start to track that over time. And by doing this, we will create one language of marketing. And then we also want to create more common understanding what marketing really can give to a brand or a company, like we would say it. So this is what we are now really trying to rebuild. It's that, how can we help brands to stay again or to be in the driver's seat again?
Yeah. Wow, I like that. I like that too. And identifying where you don't have that core competency and being able to make those connections with other organizations that can come alongside and partner with them as well. Now, it makes me think of a question that, you know, in some businesses, they get told that this is the marketing company you should use. So they find a market, they work with a marketing company, but they just don't know if it's working for them, or they get concerned that I don't know if this marketing company is right for me. Do you have any perspective on how an organization evaluates whether a marketing company is right for them or that it's working for them?
It's of course two ways, right? I think you hear it often that the company would say, yeah, but that marketing agency, they don't deliver and perform. If you listen to the voice of the marketing agency, it's like, yeah, but the brand didn't deliver or let us know what you really expected. So I think it all starts with a very good brief. Take the time, and as a brand or a company, really sit and take the time. What is it that you want to achieve end of the year? What is your numbers? Really sit and think it through. Where do you say no to? Where do you say yes to? And I think once you have a very good brief, then, you know, you already can skip out a lot of agency based on like simple filters, right? Like this industry, you look at your budget more or less that you have based on location, target audience, business model, are you B2B, B2C? So you have so many filters where you can just skip them out, the wrong agencies. And don't always listen to referrals, right? Because sometimes a referral you have, I'm working in health and you're working in tech, you know, it might work. So really look at that first brief, then filter it out and start having the conversations with 3, 4, or 5 agencies at the same time and see how you feel. But can you really say it's 100% this is the right one? I think it always will take time, right? So therefore, with Yellow, we are trying then to really use a machine learning, use the data. What can we use to make a very good match? But first, you need to understand who you are as a company and where do you want to go.
Yeah, getting clarity on the brand. I think that is really an important part of that process, so that you can communicate to the marketing company to know what it is you're trying to accomplish, your goals, where you're trying to go, as you just described. I think that. It's a very solid answer. Absolutely. Now, in the middle there, you mentioned something about a Florida venture that you're involved with as it relates to real estate. I'd like to highlight that a little bit to just see that there's some diversity there as well, but also an area that a lot of people are targeting as part of their business or investment portfolio.
I think the adventure with Mike Atleos of the real estate was more like I looked at my live bucket calls and I said, you know, what do I have? I have a very risky business. My startup, my Yellow, my marketing scholars was more in the middle, I would say. And then I really wanted to have more kind of a safe haven, you know, how can we have like passive income just by doing a minimum. And yeah, with two other people from then the MBA, we said, you know, why not buy some condos in Florida and just mm-hmm. rent it out? And in fact, that's what we are right now doing, right? A lot of snowbirds definitely from the north of America, Canada, they just come over, spend 1 month, 2 months, and they stay on their condos. They love it.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's working perfectly. We have people on the ground. We have a property manager, cleaning lady. Everything is more or less taken care of. Of course, we still need to do some tasks. One is doing the finances. The other one is doing sales. I'm doing marketing. So we have also the diversified team on that end. But it's fun, right? It's a little bit, side hustles and building along that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. Just considering those life goals and that, your areas of risk, as you said, you have a little bit riskier, one that's a little bit middle of the ground and one that's a little bit lower risk, but they all require work and effort and continued involvement in all three. But that with the condos, that creates that passive income a little bit with the team that's involved with the process. I like that. And in regards to the current, actually, I want to ask about the book, because I also noted that you have written a book and want to just hear about that and how that came to be and how you're using that book to continue to expand your work and your efforts.
The book is indeed Think Big, Scale Fast, and mm-hmm. that's very much related with everything regarding marketing, my first venture. Yeah. And I really wanted to make it very easy, because a lot of people just start to scale their game, their marketing business, because I was very much into tech. And then sometimes I was like, you know, sometimes wait, you know, don't start to run before you cannot walk. And the book is divided in, I would call it the four S's, like you have the Kotler, the mm-hmm. five P's, the marketing, product price, people promotion. So therefore I said, why you don't have the four S's, it's scaling. And it starts, first of all, with the scalar mindset. So a scalar is a scaler and an entrepreneur at the same time that really has the right mindset, like being an entrepreneur. You know, an entrepreneurial journey will go up and down, and you need to have the capabilities and you need to be capable to start scaling. So it's really about mindset. How can you grow? Do you have that growth mindset instead of a fixed mindset? The second part is, of course, a scalable systems. Do you have systems in place that are easily scalable? Do you have the right business? Of course, HR will probably a little bit more tougher to scale than a tech company. We also look into what's a scalable strategy? Where do you want to go? Are you adaptable? Yes or no? And then the scalar dashboard. So we really say that dashboard, that the success panel, which the fourth S would be then the success panel, but in fact, the dashboard, always measure everything that you're doing. So these are the four S's that I'm really trying to explain in the book. And then you also have then the one S for free, where you say, you know, do everything with a smile, have fun in everything what you're doing, because it's in fact, it's your job, and have fun, right? Do things with a smile. So it's mainly related to book with marketing and having that mindset and doing it.
Yeah, I mean, that's an important message in the process of being an entrepreneur and scaling your business and having the mindset. And I've seen people who don't track anything that they're doing and they try to continue to grow and it's chaotic and haphazard. And also seeing that last S not having occurred at times with doing things with a smile, because it is your business, it is part of your life, and it's a big part of life, so what you're doing. And so it is important to be able to have a smile on your face as you continue to do the work you're doing.
Having fun is so important.
So the other last thing that you mentioned was that you're working with women and helping other women in the work that they're doing. Could you tell us a little bit more about that and what that looks like?
I must say I started my own, so I'm also having mentors, right, to really drive uh-huh. me through. And one of the mentors really said, you know, what is your slogan? They really challenged me on what is your slogan. And I think what gives you really energy? And I really said, you know, if I can use a word to describe myself, I would say I'm a peppermill, you know, and in Flemish you would use, you know, you put peppermint, you put some pepper in somebody's button, and then you really give the energy, the confidence. And And I really was that peppermint. You know, how can you really say to a person, you know, you can do it, and that's who I really am. I'm always trying to be positive and be realistic at the same time, but give that confidence level to other people. And I really see that talking to with other women, it's most of the time, yeah, but are we really good enough for that? Will we succeed? And then I'm like, you know, yes, of course, you are not better than this guy next to you, right? Probably the guy next to you will also be amazing, but you know, you as a woman, we often underestimate ourselves. We lack a little bit of that confidence, and definitely as well, going to that motherhood, I sometimes also question myself, like, do I not need to rest? Will I then lose status or something? And we think over things probably easier. That I really said, you know, let's help women have one voice, mentor them, yes, we can, and so that they really have and embrace their journey, regardless of challenges and the failures that they might have.
Yeah, I think that's important to have mentors and to be able to receive encouragement from others, but also to encourage others. And I like that work you're doing with encouraging others as a person who can kind of put that spark into people and to experience your joy and your energy and be able to relate to that and to gain from it. I think that's an important part of people's lives in business, in life in general, whether somebody is in business for themselves, somebody's working for somebody else, or somebody isn't currently working. They're maybe a student, or they're at home with their child and in that role, whether male or female. My brother stayed at home for a long time with their children, and while his wife worked. And, you know, I think that there's important identification of it's not a one role job, one gender job to do the work that we do and raising kids. Yeah. So, well, I want to ask one last question that I like to ask all of my guests. If you were to be given $1 million with no restrictions attached, how would you invest that in your business or another endeavor?
I think definitely it will be an investment between life work balance. So I think part of my investment would definitely go into my personal matters, like paying off the mortgage of the house and get that financial freedom to create a solid foundation to really have fun in life and have a stress-free life. And I think the other part would definitely go into the business and scale up, you know, my venture, scaling up other people, my mentorship is further. To help other people embark their next adventure. So it will be definitely a dual approach between professional and personal growth.
Yeah. I think on the personal side, it helps to release you from some stress and some other pressure that you can feel at times, and then be able to then pour in both on that financial side and on that personal side when you have less stress and more freedom. I love it. Okay, well, if our guests want to find out more about you and the work that you're doing, what's the best way for someone to connect with you?
I would say LinkedIn is always the easiest one. So Yolinde Meijer is always easier, or just go to yellow.com, write an email. I think that would be the easiest one. There's definitely some contact details over there. So, yeah.
Okay, so Yolinde Meijer, D-E-M-E-Y-E-R, or yellow.com. And could you spell that one out for us?
GLLOOW.com.
Okay, perfect. And we'll make sure to have that in the show notes for anyone that wants to look at that information, and definitely encourage you to reach out and connect with Yolene. Great person to speak with and has a wealth of experience in the 5 years that she's been in business and the growth that she's had as an expert in her market. So again, thank you, Yolene, for joining us today.
Thank you, too.
It's a pleasure speaking with you.
Bye-bye.